And if you want to go ahead, open to James chapter 5. If you haven't done so yet, we're going to be looking there this morning. As our beginning point, it's good to be with everyone this morning. We do have several of our number that are not able to be with us. We have a lot of sickness going around, and it's finally infected my house. I was telling some this morning that we've made it this far into the school year for my kids not getting sick, and I will take it. So, we're making progress with everything, and I hope. But again, remember all those that are needing our thoughts and prayers. You know, as we're talking and speaking about prayers this morning, if you haven't noticed, in our series of lessons this month, we have been talking about prayer. And we want to continue with that thought this morning, drawing some lessons from the situation that's mentioned here in James chapter 5, verse 16, down to verse 18, where we talk about Elijah. The prayers of a righteous man is our lesson that we will look at this morning. Because when we think about it, prayer works. As we have mentioned in our series of lessons so far, if I was going to come up with a theme verse to go along with each of these lessons, it would be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's go over there and just read some of those verses together. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we want to consider verse 16, verse 17, and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18, where Paul first of all says to rejoice always. Verse 17 is to pray without ceasing. And verse 18 it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. As we think about that, prayer needs to be in abundance as we look at verse 17 together. We need to continue to remember God our Father and go to Him in prayer. Utilize and use this blessing that God has given to us. And we can do so by praying, going to Him in prayer through Jesus Christ as we look in verse 18. In everything we give thanks to God through Jesus Christ, and we can be able to share joy in being able to go to God in prayer. As we look at our text, if you're thinking there in James chapter 5, in verse 16, I think we could be able to look at it and say the prayer of a righteous man works. Meaning it is needed. Meaning that we can be able to use it and it works. We as Christians, as we have done on a few different occasions this morning, need to continue to engage in prayer. We can't do things on our own. As we would like to be able to do, we want to do things, but we need help. And we can go to God and ask Him for help, as we talked about last week, being able to ask Him for wisdom. And we have an example here in James chapter 5, verse 16 down to verse 18, of a man, a righteous man, who is facing adversity. And we talk about the example of Elijah and how he thought that he was the last one. He thought he was the last follower of the Lord. Even in those times of adversity, in those times of stress, in those times where he was just, you know, felt helpless, he still remembered God. And we want to look at these lessons that's mentioned here in James and going back to the Old Testament in looking at this. I want you to think about, first of all, with me this morning, is that Elijah, as we look at our text, Elijah prayed for no rain. We look over in 1 Kings. Let's go back to 1 Kings, where these events are recorded for us. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we want to begin with verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, and beginning with verse 1. You know, we read about Elijah. He was a man that was facing serious adversity. As we look, he thought he was alone. And he proclaims to Ahab of there being no rain. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 down to verse 7 with me. It says, Elijah, the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand,
there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get away from here, and turn eastward, and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I command the ravens to feed you there. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So as James reminds us, we see the recording here in 1 Kings as well, that he went to Ahab. He had told Ahab here, there's not going to be any rain. There's not going to be any rain. There's not going to be any dew. There's not going to be any of this stuff. You know, when we wake up in the morning, I know it's getting closer. I think we're all just ready for it to kind of warm up. I'm tired of it going back and forth teasing us. But as we look at this, when we get out there later on here in spring, summer, fall, we got the dew on the ground. We got a little bit of moisture for the grass and everything on days that it may not rain. And it's a blessing. We can be able to see how it helps. And here, as Elijah is proclaiming to Ahab, there's not going to be any rain. Not only is there not going to be rain, there's not going to be any dew. But God will provide. God will provide to Elijah after he made this proclamation to Ahab. Again, God told him, get away from that. Go to this brook. I'm going to provide for you the things that you need for now. You know, look, he was doing God's will in all this, in his proclamation to Abraham. And in turn, God provided the things that he did need. You know, God knows what we need in this life. We can look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 down to verse 34. God knows what we need. We need food. God knows we need water. God knows we need clothing. God knows we need these different things to sustain and take care of our physical body. And he looks out for us. He takes care of us. He provides the things that we need in this life. But also in the context there in Matthew 6, as we look at verse 25 down to verse 34, he says, to seek first, in verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God knows what we need, but here's your responsibility. Here's what you need to focus on first of all. God has taken care of all the animals. He takes care of everything, all the inhabitants that he has created. Why not us? We have responsibility to seek him first and his ways first. In our life, here Elijah was doing the Lord's work, making this proclamation to Ahab, and God took care of his needs in this life. And Elijah, as we look, he prayed to God that it would not rain. We read in James 5, verse 17 of our text this morning. He prayed to God that it would not rain, and it did not rain. As we look at this, again, Elijah thought he alone was left. He thought there were no other followers of God. But God had a plan for him. God told him what he needed to do. In this attempt of trying to get the people to see this, to see God, to realize God, he prayed to God that it would not rain, that their hearts would be open to seeing God, to understand, to knowing God once again. It was to prove to all the people that the God that Elijah was following was the true and living God. He trusted in God. Elijah trusted in God. He prayed to God it would not rain. He shows an example of a man of God continuing in prayer. You know, I want you to think about this also this morning with me. But there was a challenge laid out in 1 Kings chapter 18. You know, when Elijah prayed to God that it would not rain, there was also this challenge that was laid out in 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's consider verse 16 down to verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 16 down to verse 19. It says, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. Yeah. We look at this, kind of seeing in the process of this, of Elijah not, or praying to God that it would not rain, we see some of the problems kind of arising. Here he is visiting with Ahab, told to go and visit, Ahab was told to go visit with Elijah, and here his first, is that you? Look at what you've done to us. Look at what you've done. You pretty much have left us for dead. We have no rain. We have none of these things. We need that. You have caused problems to us here. But Elijah, as we see, he reasons among Ahab, saying, I've not caused this problem. You have caused your lack of obeying God. Your lack of obedience has caused problems to you. We see the effects of not listening to God. How many times? How do you think about that? How many times have we been called troublers for disobeying God, simply obeying God? It comes from all sides. And sometimes it even can come from brethren. We've been called troublers. Problematic or whatever it may be. I know I've had my instances in life of being able to have some of these names called at me. And it happens. But I understand that there's going to be some adversity. There's going to be some difficult times being a Christian. But getting through it is a key component in this battle. Ahab called Elijah, you troubler of Israel. But Ahab also receives a challenge from Elijah. Bring out your prophets. Bring out all these. And let's look at that. In the process of all this rain not coming on the earth, we see a challenge laid out there in 1 Kings chapter 18. And beginning in verse 20, let's look down to verse 40 together. It says here in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 20, that Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left, a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore let them give us two bulls. Let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it into pieces. Lay it on the wood. But put no fire on it. Put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them. They prepared it and called the name of the Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. When they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping. It must be awakened. So they cried aloud, and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. When midday was past, they prophesied until the time of offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said, "All the people, come near to me." So all the people came near him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." They did it a second time. He said, "Do it a third time." So they did it a third time. So the water ran around all the altar and also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. When people saw it, they fell on their face. They said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. You know, the challenge as we look at this is laid out. The prophet Elijah of God versus the prophets of Baal. These prophets of Baal, they try to get involved. They try to have, you know, they have the 2 different sacrifices, both of them the same, having the bull prepared, having the wood and all the things around, encompassing around it. You know, no fire. If your God can be able to get this sacrifice to come to be consumed by fire, then that's the winner, basically. So Baal tries to get their gods involved. The prophets of Baal try to get their gods involved. They're there, they're prancing around, they're dancing, they're doing all these things. Not working. Well, then they say, you know, it's their custom to start cutting themselves with knives and trying to do all these different things, crying out. You know, I was having a discussion with some about some of these different verses. You know, some people will say, "Well, there's no sarcasm in the Bible." And I said, "Well, look right here. Look at what Elijah says. He's mocking them. Maybe your God is on a trip. Maybe your God is asleep. Maybe your God is, you know, away. He can't hear. Whatever it is, you need to cry louder." But nothing happened. Basically, what it all boils down to is that you're making even more of a mess yet. You're proving your point that you, these prophets of Baal, are indeed false prophets. So Elijah has his turn. He prepares the altar, prepares the sacrifice. He prays to God. And we were talking about that last, speaking to God. Here it is. Our opportunity to be able to speak. He was praying to God to show all the people, all the witnesses, that this is the true God. To remind them of whom they had left. And Elijah shows a great power. As he goes to God, he said, "Please, help this people understand that you indeed are the great God. That you are the Almighty God that they have fallen away, that these generations have fallen away and turned from. You are that God, and they need to turn back to you. Show them this." Here we see the results of it. That this fire consumed All the burnt offering, all the water, all the everything around it was consumed by the fire coming from God. And these people, they fell on their face. They heard this, they witnessed it. They say, well, this is the true God. This is the one that we need to be following. And what we notice as well after this is that Elijah, 3 years later, prays for the rain to come again. Look with me, if you were there, in verse 41 of this same chapter. It says, Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. And then it came to pass the 7th time, they said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. The drought finally ends. After all this that had happened, after the people had finally turned back to God, Elijah goes to God and he prays for the rain to be able to start once again. Elijah prays for us, as we read in James chapter 5, verse 18, to be able to, for that rain to come again. And it happened. It took some time, but it did happen. On that 7th time, after being told to go look out at the sea, here comes the rain. And it did rain, and it was an abundant rain. Elijah was a man that showed he was a righteous and a follower of God. He prayed to God, and we see the result of God does hear our prayers. The prayer of a righteous man, a fervent prayer of a righteous man, does avail much. But as always, as we've looked at these last couple lessons, what does it say about me? What does looking at the prayer of Elijah, the prayer of a righteous man, what does that say about me? You know, again, we look at the character of Elijah. Elijah was a man who prayed to God often. We have a few records of these different moments. When he prayed for the rain to stop, when he prayed to God, when that challenge was laid out between the prophets of Baal and him concerning the altar sacrifice. Then we see again, he prayed on numerous occasions, therefore the rain to start. Elijah was a man who prayed to God often. He was a righteous follower of God. What that says to me, that even though I follow God, if I call myself a Christian, if I say I'm a follower of God, I still need to pray. It doesn't stop. When we come up out of those waters of baptism, our prayers should become even more fervent, should become more frequent. I need to pray often. You were talking last week about not falling into temptation with the model prayer that Jesus gave us. I need to pray to God and thank God for the blessings He's given me. I want to ask God for help. I want to offer blessings back to God. Because the minute that I stop, the minute I stop trying to pray or want to give, I don't want to pray anymore, I'm easy prey for the devil. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter warns us. He gives us some instructions. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When I decide I don't need to pray anymore, I'm an easy target. When I think I have done enough, we can do more. You know, we were talking about that in Bible class this morning, about being a good servant, about needing to be able to look at the opportunities, doing what we can. One of the things we can do as Christians is we can pray. I know this past week we have seen some of the devastating events that have happened, and we can be able to go to God in prayer. Those are perfect opportunities, but we can be able to do more. We can be able to pray on different, not just those types of occasions. When I think I pray enough, pray more. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, to pray without ceasing, to have that mindset instilled in us that we can be able to give to God in prayer. As Christians, we are to take advantage of every opportunity that we have to pray. We can ask the things of God that we need. He knows that we need the things to sustain the physical body, but He also knows what we need to be able to sustain the spiritual body. We can pray for His mercy, pray for His grace, and that will continue to be offered as we're living and breathing here on this earth. We can pray to God that we may have the endurance to continue on to fight the good fight of faith. If you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8. Look at what Paul says here. You know, we can be able to pray for that endurance to fight the good fight of faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, look down to verse 8 with me. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all who have loved His appearing. You know, Elijah needed endurance. So he alone, he thought he was the last one. I think we can say that he prayed for endurance to continue to do God's will. We can be able to go to God and pray for that endurance in our life to continue to be obedient Christians, obedient followers of God. Because as we think about it, we do need that endurance. Over in Hebrews, if you'll turn there, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. The Hebrew author says, you have need of endurance, so that you have done the will of God, that you may receive the promise. Let's just continue on reading verse 37 and 38-39. He says, for yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We need to be able to go to God in prayer and pray for endurance in our life. We can pray for obedience. We can pray for continuation so that one day we can receive the promise. The prayers of a righteous man does indeed avail much. Maybe this morning you have been going to God in prayer. You've been asking Him for help and direction in your life. And maybe this morning you have not yet obeyed God's word and you've been asking for help on that matter. This morning we want to extend the invitation. We want to offer it. We want to encourage you to come to an understanding of obeying God before it's too late. If there's anyone here that needs to have their sins washed in the waters of baptism this morning and are ready to make their life right with God, we'll be glad to help you. We'll be glad to assist you. We'll be glad to rejoice with you in your desire to obey God. If this morning you are a child of God but have fallen back into the ways of sin, you need the prayers of the saints here. And we'll be glad to pray for you. You also need to be able to repent of your sins, recognizing what sin does you. And ready, if you're ready to repent, you're ready to turn back to the fold of God, ready to have your soul restored, we'll be glad to pray for you and offer those prayers of forgiveness on your behalf. Maybe this morning you are living in this world and just needing prayers of encouragement. Maybe you just need some prayers of endurance to continue to fight the good fight of faith. We'll be glad to help you. And again, be glad to pray for it. We're here to be able to take advantage of that tool that God's given us, being able to go to Him in prayer. Be able to rejoice, we'd be able to come together to worship God. We'd have all these opportunities. When we leave these the building today, one of those avenues that we still have, one of those tools that God has given us, we can still use outside. And be able to pray for one another, pray for ourselves, pray for one another, pray for those that may be outside the body of Christ or maybe just need prayers of encouragement. We can utilize it. And if we can assist you this morning in answering the invitation call, let me know how we can assist you, how we can help, and hear it now, all together, while we stand and while we sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus called tenderly.